Whiskey Congress is back in session. We do not have a whiskey to review. I'm having a Heaven Hill Manhattan again. What are you having?
Soda water.
Soda water. Good for you. Good for you.
The bubbly.
I wasn't going to call. All right. So tons of shit went down in Washington this week, and I'm eager to talk about it. But before we do, I was listening to someone today talking about how smart Mike Bloomberg is for getting into the race at this time. He's a not unique, but he's a rare commodity in the sense that he is a multi-billionaire. And so he doesn't need to worry about raising money for campaigns and whatnot. He jumped in, and I think from a strategic standpoint, it's kind of smart. And I kind of wish other people would do it. For the reason I say that is, let those other 20 people whittle down to 10 and then make themselves look ridiculous while doing it. And, and wait for the Democratic Party to say, we need a hero, because we need a hero. I mean, you've said multiple times, there's no one in this current group of Democrats that gets you even remotely excited. I think I can say the same thing. And having said that, so I think there's a smart move by Bloomberg, try to be the white knight who comes charging in. Having said that, I can't stand Michael fucking Bloomberg.
Yeah, I mean, he's awful. He's an awful candidate.
He all right, so there's a bunch of things I don't like about him. But one thing stands out to me the most. His desire to micromanage people's lives. When he was mayor of New York, I don't even know if the law went through, but there was an effort to make a law where you couldn't buy a soft drink more than, it was either 18 ounces or 20 ounces or whatever. Some stupid thing like that. Like, look. Yeah, Mike, you're right. We drink too much high fructose corn syrup containing sodas. And not your fucking problem. Shut the fuck up. It is so ridiculous. I'm always a guy who says I don't hate the idea of government playing a bigger role in our lives. But I do have a real problem with government making decisions for us. So at one point, I believe it was a bigger fine to have a 32-ounce big gulp from 7-Eleven than an ounce of weed. In New York.
So, you know, Bloomberg is a flawed candidate on so many different levels, right? I mean, again, like, you know, we talked last episode about Second Amendment rights. I'm a big Second right. Amendment person. I think it's really important, especially in the black community. Mike Bloomberg has flat out come out and said he wants to take people's guns, he wants to regulate guns, and has even made comments that he's doing it for the benefit of the black community, right? And I mean, he has.
Okay, so the shoulder shrug was, New York City already has about the most restrictive gun laws in the country and has long before Bloomberg came in.
Yes, but every time something happens, school shooting out in the suburbs somewhere, like he goes to his same thing about what he, you know, him wanting to, you know, regulate guns even more than they're already regulated. So we start there for me. Okay. And then you go, his record on public education is terrible. His record overall with the black community, I mean, he didn't start the stop and frisk program in New York, but he...
Was it Rudy who did that?
Yeah, Rudy Giuliani started that, but he went with it and accelerated. And recently he came and said, that may not have been as beneficial as we thought it was. But, you know, Bloomberg was the mayor when Khalid Browder killed himself. And Khalid Browder is an extreme case. If you don't know the case, he's a young man who was, he was arrested for...
Shoplifting.
For shoplifting. And, you know, they took his book bag. There was nothing in it. But they charged him anyway. He couldn't afford to make bail. So he spent 3 years in Rikers.
You left out one key point. They tried to give him a plea deal, and you said, I'm not pleading guilty to something I didn't fucking do.
Right, like but he spent 3 years in Rikers because, one, he couldn't afford to make bail. Two, he wouldn't take a plea deal for something that he did not do. And ultimately, it literally killed him.
Yeah. He suffered a horrific life for 3 years in prison.
Yes, I mean, he was...
Without ever facing the law. Sorry, go ahead.
He was jumped, beaten, attacked... literally was fighting for his life every day for 3 years. Rikers Island is a place that probably shouldn't even be fucking open. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have jails, but what I'm saying is Rikers Island is so outdated and one of the most dangerous places on earth that it just shouldn't be there anymore. And so this kid ends up killing himself after he gets out in a brutal fashion, hangs himself by a cord of an air conditioner, and then, you know, basically jumps out of a window.
I thought he threw it out the window. And it,
or, yeah. No, I know his body was anyway, out the window. Okay, either way. His brutal. Mom found him.
Right.
And it was terrible. But Khalif Browder is a really bad case, but he's not the only one, right? First of all, there's estimates 15 to 20% of the people in Rikers right now are there because they can't make bail. Not guilty. They've been charged with something, but they're not guilty or anything. And they've been there for over a year. Right? Like, I mean, that's not what jail is. Jail, you're not supposed to be in a county lockup for that period of time. It's literally supposed to be they hold you for a couple days, you get charged, you make bail, you get out on your own recognizance, whatever, and then you move on. Not spend years there. And that's what happened. And so Bloomberg was a part of that, right? He helped accelerate so many people into the criminal justice system because of policies that he upheld and he implemented in the city of New York as mayor. And his only recourse for that is he gave the speech. There were black journalists there where he said, oh, I was wrong. That wasn't good to do. Looking back on it now, right? And so how can I look at this guy knowing the way that he ran the city of New York and take him serious? I think, listen... At some point in time, we have to begin to hold our public officials accountable for the things that they do and the things that they say. And when you negatively impact that many people's lives the way that you did, when you have policies that are directly negatively impacting specific people, poor people, black people, Mexicans, brown people, but you say you're doing it for the sake of... You're not doing it for the sake of everyone. You're not trying to help everyone. You're doing it for your richer, your wealthy constituents, right? To make them feel better. And so if that's how you run the city of New York, biggest city in the world, in the country, then what the hell are you going to do if I put you in control of the entire country? Congratulations, you're a billionaire, right? But that doesn't mean that everything that you did just gets wiped out because you said you're sorry, but since everyone else sucks, then you should be the guy to lead. I can't buy into that.
No, I'm not in it at all. Like I said, I do think the strategy of wait for the rest of the clown car to empty out and then give people something to be excited about is smart. I just don't want this guy.
Well, the problem is that he's not, like, if anyone, and honestly, I don't see Bloomberg as a guy that gets people excited.
Oh, no.
I mean, I think no. people, I
all
mean.
Right. First of all, everyone in the South is going to hate his guts because, like,
He's a rich, although there's some irony in that one. He's a billionaire rich Jew, not that I have an issue with Jews, but I mean that's something that's going to get thrown around in the South in the bars, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, they're going to say it openly, but they're going to look at it like, oh,
they might say it openly,
right? And so, no, he's not going to get any sort of carry in the South. I don't think he would get any sort of carry in the black community, North or South, anywhere right. else. Like he's not going to get black women. He's not going to get black men. He's not going to get the black vote.
You know what?
And he's not going to get the South.
He's like, not going to get white Midwesterners either.
Right. Like, so I'm not sure, you know, his opinion of himself, is very high.
Yes.
But you know, I mean, I think he also looks at it and says, well, you know, Donald Trump did it and that guy's a moron and he doesn't fancy himself as a moron. And listen, Bloomberg's a...
He's a smart guy.
I mean, there's no question about the money that he's made. Right. Bloomberg TV, their online magazine that deals with finance and everything. I mean, the dude's made a shit ton of money in multiple different facets, which, you know...
Good
again,
for you.
Congratulations, good for you. But I don't know if you... Like, you're not the guy that I think should take over for Donald Trump because he's not that much different than Donald Trump. He's just better spoken, right? Like, I mean, he presents better, but I don't know if his policies are that much better than Donald Trump. And I don't know if he moves the needle the way we would want.
No, I agree. Terrible choice of candidate. I point to the whole thing about the 20-ounce soda. It's just like, look, dude, you're right, but fuck off.
Yeah, but I mean,
if that's the issue you're worried about is 20-ounce sodas, you got Rikers Island going on, but you want to make
exactly.
sure gulp was the real problem.
But
in our society.
A broader topic, and maybe not for today, is one issue that the Democratic Party has with trying to beat Trump is, what is the message? What is the goal other than beating Trump, right? Because there are so many forces that need to align in order to get enough voters behind any one candidate, right?
Right.
You've got everything from, you know, even in the black community, like even to get the black vote, right? Like, what exactly is it that you need to say or do to get the black vote? What's the black agenda? And I don't know. I don't think that, because one,
there is not a single black agenda.
Right, there's not a single black agenda. We're not a monolith. So, you know, everyone points to criminal justice, but I don't think that that's accurate. I don't believe that criminal justice is the foremost thing on black people's minds. Ultimately, people want to know, how can I make money? How can we close the wealth gap from, you know, I mean, the amount of
great opportunity.
No, how do we make more money? Like, that is literally it. Like, you're saying it in a very nice, round way, but ultimately, how do we close the wealth gap? White people have a shit ton more money than black people on every level, every scale. How do we close that gap? You know, the average, you know, middle, the average, you know, 35-year-old white couple has, you know, $20,000 to $40,000 in terms of wealth, and the average, you know, black couple in that same age is in debt negative, you know, like $2,000 or $5,000 or something like that. It's a crazy stat, right? But there's a huge gap in terms of how people afford to live day in, day out, right? That's a huge, but it's not just for black people. That's for people in general, right? Yeah. I mean, that's for everybody. And so,
I mean, there's a whole lot of white people living beyond their means.
Well,
trust me.
Well, yes. I mean, just whether you're living beyond your means or not, like people want to know, how do we break into this middle class dream that everyone is talking about without going into crippling debt, right? I mean, it's just like, yeah, I can have a nice house in the burbs and nice cars and everything else, but I'm going to go into crippling debt to achieve it. So how can we avoid that? I think that's something that people are truly, that everyone is concerned about. Yes, healthcare, but I don't know if everyone is in the boat for Medicare for All. It sounds good. Bernie says it. Elizabeth Warren says it in some way, shape, or form. Every Democratic candidate except for Bloomberg will come out and raise their hand for it, but I don't know if that is that necessarily the answer. Is that something that we're all looking for, or we just want something better than what we have right now?
We definitely need something better than what we have right now. I'll go down the healthcare road if you want, but I know you don't want me to. The bigger point in my mind is, like, maybe there's another white knight out there for the Democrats. I don't know who it would be, but it ain't Michael Bloomberg. Ain't Michael Bloomberg.
No.
But the strategy of sitting back and waiting for the shit show to out is kind of smart.
I guess, but I mean, if you suck as a candidate, I don't care.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I get it.
Right? I mean, like,
I don't think I've done anything to disagree with that.
Yeah, I mean,
the flip side is Tom Steyer.
I'm not going to give him too much credit, because every billionaire could do that, right? I mean, anyone who can afford to fund their own campaign without having to worry about raising money can decide to jump in whenever they want up until, you know, the primaries are over,
right?
Essentially, right?
Yeah, well, until they're in the middle, right?
I think at some point, like, there is a cutoff, but anyone can do it. So I'm not going to give him a ton of credit for doing it.
Again, I'm not giving him credit so much as I'm saying it's interesting. And could a non-billionaire, a non-self-financed guy do, or girl, do this? I don't know, but I wonder if there's someone else out there that is an improvement over what we've got.
I mean, anyone could do it. The reason why Bloomberg can do it is because he can buy TV time. Mm-hmm. He can buy TV and radio time where it doesn't matter. He can buy, like, he's not necessarily worried about these debates. He can buy the TV time to get his name out there, right? And so can Tom Steyer, although Tom Steyer is doing it in Nevada.
Yeah. Did I tell you my,
my friend Joey
Gentile, the guy who does Academy Queens.
Yes, and then, so oddly enough, it was actually on Julie Mason on the press pool on the POTUS channel on Sirius. She was talking about the number of ads for Tom Steyer
when
she was
in
Vegas. Like, it's crazy. So, you know, I'm not going to give a ton of credit to these billionaires who are jumping in late. Like, hey, look at me. It's not.
Steyer didn't jump in late, though. He jumped in early, and he's still irrelevant.
Because he still sucks. I mean, he just sucks. But I don't like Bloomberg, and the idea of strategy, yeah, I guess, but I still don't think he's a viable candidate, and it's not just because I don't like him. I don't think that there's no mandate for him. He's not going to get it. The only place where anyone would theoretically vote for him is probably New York.
I wonder if you didn't pull and well even there.
Because I don't know what people's thoughts of him are.
Here's one thought I have. How many times have Michael Bloomberg, Donald Trump, and Rudy Giuliani been in the same room at some cocktail party or social event?
I'm sure dozens too.
And you know what? Hillary Clinton was probably at some of them too.
Yeah.
It's just a hilarious thing to me to think that those three people might have been talking about how rich and smart they are and how dumb everyone else is, and now they're sparring with each other over who should be president. But now we got to get into the bigger topic, or more interesting topic of the day. In the impeachment world / inquiry, it's been a wild week. So Devin Nunes has been accused of having worked in Ukraine for the cause of getting an investigation against the Bidens by one of the guys who was indicted.
Les Parnas.
There we go. Thank you.
One of Giuliani's clients.
Right.
Air quotes.
So here's my thought on that. This is really dangerous to me. The idea that Devin Nunes, who's been front and center for the
Nunes.
Whole... Nunes. My apologies.
It's like you never took a Spanish class.
I didn't. Anyway, he was at the front of the Republican resistance to the impeachment inquiry, making his... He was a ranking member of the Judiciary Committee. He's making his closing remarks every day, talking about it's a sideshow, it's nothing...
It's a hoax. Russia and Mueller.
It's all about TV ratings and blah, blah, blah. Mueller.
Mueller.
You want to play that game? I did take German. I find this very disconcerting. Not that I'm saying I think he's guilty of this. I'm saying this feels like if I was trying to throw out a bullshit story that was going to blow up in the Democrats' faces, this would be it. I'm not saying it's not the case. I'm saying... anyone going after this guy better have the proof, because...
Well, let me stop you right there. I don't agree that it's a bullshit story. I buy it.
I didn't say it was.
Listen.
Okay.
I'm not being said. You're heavily talking over. So, I believe that he did go to Ukraine with the intent of getting dirt on Joe Biden. And, doing Trump's dirty work. I believe it.
Along with Giuliani.
Yes. Okay. With Giuliani, or maybe not even in concert with Giuliani, but there were multiple teams sent out. Kind of like that movie, The Departed, where, he had all sorts of people working for the same cause, and whether they knew it or not, whole different conversation, right? And so I believe that happened. I believe Nunes was over there. There's a paper trail that suggests that he was. But the issue is, so what? What's necessary? I mean, and the reason why I say that, well, is there a rule that says he can't be over there? Is there a rule
that says he can't?
A law, a rule, an ordinance, a statute?
Is there a legal conflict that he could be disbarred for?
Disbarred from what? I don't even know if he's an attorney.
I think he is.
Devin Nunes?
I think so.
I don't know about that.
I don't know, he doesn't strike me. You go ahead, I'll look it up.
But the reason why I say it is, what exactly are you going to do, right? I mean, the inquiry, for the most part, is over, right? Unless, some of these other Trump officials are forced to testify, which... is up in the air because the judge said that they could, but the DOJ is going to fight it, which that's a whole nother conversation. But if the inquiry is over, then, you can't necessarily have him recuse himself. There's not necessarily a rule that says he has to, right? I mean, like, it's just, I guess my whole point is I'm not sure what the reprimand is for this particular behavior. Now, the other issue is, once it moves, like once the articles of impeachment are handed down, and it goes to the Senate, then he's basically out. Now, where it becomes problematic for the administration and Trump is now, does the Senate call him as a witness and say, well, what were you doing over in Ukraine? Why were you talking to these people? What were you saying? Right? And does he testify? That's where it can get sticky for him. But I don't know if there's necessarily a repercussion for the particular action. So yeah, it doesn't look good. It doesn't feel good. There's nothing good about what he was doing. It adds to the narrative of what Trump wanted to happen and what Trump was advocating for, but it doesn't really... I don't know if it's this thing that could... I don't see where there's a trap necessarily for Democrats. So what did you find out?
So it doesn't say what his degree is in, but he is not a lawyer. But he went to Cal Poly Tech, so he might be an engineer. Also, another thing popped up, and I had forgotten about this. I think we talked about this years ago when it happened. He once sued a Twitter cow.
Yeah. Yep.
I forgot about that. That's so fucking awesome. He literally sued a fake Twitter account that was a cow.
Mm-hmm. He did. That's why when you're
oh,
like,
my God. Oh, that's so great.
I kind of hope he's an engineer.
You know what? I didn't give his degree. I'm not looking anymore. Now it's on you. Oh, if he's an engineer, I'm going to puke.
You guys got a little? You guys share a little pen?
We don't have a little pen. Alfred, did you say pen or pin?
Pen.
Oh.
A little pen that
you clip. Oh, pin. Okay, not a pen. Yeah. Like a pen. Okay. No, we do not. But Cal Polytech is a heavy engineering school. I mean, it's not unlikely. Oh, damn it.
Yeah. There you go.
How you like them apples? But again, I was not saying I don't think it happened. I'm saying proceed. Don't if you can't at least make a strong case. If there's no, you know, way to at least back up the story, you can't just swing wildly with it because it'll be right fake news. You know, it'll go right back to that bullshit.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But again, at the same time, I think Democrats are going to look at it and say, how can we use it?
Oh, and if you can back it up, use it.
I mean, if you can back it up, but the only thing you can do is you put it in the media and say, this is another piece of the puzzle of what Trump was trying to accomplish, and it could come back to haunt them. If you can, and I think the Democrats have smartened up to a degree where they're not as much worried about the media sensationability as they are, is this something that we can draw into the actual trial that will happen in the Senate regarding removal, right? I mean, is this additional evidence? Is this additional information that moves us further that direction?
And maybe.
Because this came out early in the week, right?
Right.
I mean, this came out Monday, and it's been in the news, but it's died down to a certain degree. Part of that is the holiday, right? I mean, we've got Thanksgiving tomorrow. And so I'm curious if we see a lot about it. And if I'm the Democrats, right, if I'm pulling the Democrats together, little huddle, I'm going to say, guys, let's chase this down. Let's figure out as much as we can. Zip your lip, keep it out of the media, and then let's put it in our back pocket and use it when we need it, right? And when we need it, it's probably going to be in the Senate. So you hand it over to Nancy Pelosi you hand it over to Chuck Schumer and the crew over in the Senate and say, listen, at some point in time during the trial, this is going to need to come out.
Yeah.
Based off of what we've been able to find, right? Like, but the problem is it's coming from a really sketchy source.
Right. And so it's the lawyer who's under indictment.
Right. Like, so you got to be real careful.
That's my real point.
With that information, because again, like you said, you don't want to ring the bell and say, look, you know, everyone look here. And then it's just like, well, this dude is clearly lying just to try to save his own ass.
Right. And again, it didn't come from him. It's coming from his lawyer. So it's not even like he...
I don't know if that means anything.
Here's why it means something to me. If you're his lawyer and you're trying to bargain for your client's position, this is really valuable. No?
No.
Having something on...
If it's not true, it's not.
Okay, but if it is true, guys are either going to roll over or you're going to bail them out.
I mean, but listen, there's been plenty of lawyers for people who have absolute nothing and will throw out bullshit just to see if it sticks.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think where you're right is if you're the Democrats, be smart, chase it down, figure out where the paper trail leads, what actual evidence you have. You want to stay away from opinions, speculation, viewpoints. Need hard evidence. And you know, there's mention of, you know, possible videotapes, audio. I want it.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Absolutely.
I do not want someone coming in giving me their professional opinion.
Or right? I heard a guy say this.
I heard it through the grapevine. Right. I want actual, and if you don't have it, then the story should die, and we move on to the next thing.
Let me ask you this. If you do have it, do you save it for the Senate trial? Because right now, I think it's very, very likely that articles of impeachment will be voted on in the House and will pass. I don't want to say it's a slam dunk, but it's real close.
I don't need it right now. That's the thing. I don't need it. So I've been saying that repeatedly for the last 10 minutes. Save it for when you need it during the actual Senate trial. If you're really trying to push to get him out, depending on what the result of, you know, your investigation is.
All right. So moving on from politics, a story came out this week. There were three men in Baltimore who were released from prison and had spent, I think, 33 years in prison. 36 years in prison for a murder that they clearly didn't commit. They weren't paroled. They didn't win an appeal. They were found. It's called actual innocence. And there's more to the legal thing. You'd know it and I wouldn't. But literally the court said, our ruling was wrong. You are actually innocent of this crime. And that's one step beyond the other two things I just mentioned. And the story is disgusting. So basically, three boys in Baltimore, all of them black, were accused of killing another young boy, I think he was 16 at the time, over a Georgetown starter jacket. And the evidence used to convict them was flat out fabricated or hidden. Evidence that would clearly show that they were not guilty was hidden by the prosecution. So these guys spent 36 years in prison, were released. They're now in their early to mid-50s. And I think they were actually arrested on Thanksgiving Day in the year that they were arrested. So it's kind of why it made the news now. But the fact that the prosecution in Maryland put away three kids knowing that I think I'm comfortable saying knowing they didn't do it. I'm not even going to say knowing that they didn't have the legal case for it. In my opinion, they know they didn't do it, and yet they tried to put them away for life.
So, you know, some of the facts from this case, the story was that these three boys jumped this kid, shot him in the neck, and stole his jacket, the Georgetown starter jacket. The issue is that they found the jacket in Alfred Chestnut in his closet.
They found a jacket.
They found a Georgetown starter jacket. Yes. In his closet. The issue is that his mom had bought that jacket for him as a present. And they
had the receipts?
Right. And so they don't get into the details on how they confirmed that the mother did buy the jacket. I'm assuming a receipt or something along those lines. It was 1983. It's not right. Like, you know, you can pull it up on your phone where where everything is digital. But so they found this Georgetown starter jacket in Alfred Chestnut's closet. It was Alfred Chestnut, Ransom Watkins, and Andrew Stewart. Those are the three boys convicted of murdering DeWitt Duckett. For his Georgetown starter jacket. So they find the jacket in Andrew Chestnut's closet, and that's a big thing, big piece of evidence that's used to convict them. Also, you had four witnesses that testified that these were the boys who killed this kid. It was the first shooting in a Baltimore public school. It was a highly publicized case, and we come to find out now that the police pressured those four witnesses to say that it was these three boys. Also, there were witnesses who said it wasn't them, it was another guy. Now, the other guy that the other witnesses identified, he died back in 2002, right? Okay. So you're limited on how you can, you know, go after him to try to get some sort of confirmation. I don't know if he was in prison or not or whatever. But you had multiple witnesses saying it wasn't these three, it was someone else. You did not have a murder weapon, right? He was shot in the neck, right?
I heard there was a hole in the jacket. There should have been a hole in the jacket, and there wasn't.
Right. First he didn't have a murder weapon. Then, he was shot in the neck, so I'm not sure why there would be a hole in the jacket. But
it was maybe on CNN, who knows? Might have been shot multiple times.
But there, like, so the evidence didn't add up just on its face. But then as it was presented, with the police manipulating witnesses, manipulating other sorts of evidence, these kids go to jail for 36 years.
And would still be there today if right. not for the Innocence Project of Baltimore.
Innocence Project of Baltimore, and they got a lot of support from Marilyn Mosby, who is the prosecutor who she was there while I was in Baltimore. I actually met her once. She's actually good for the city.
Okay. Right?
Baltimore is a tough place. I have no issues with criticizing their political leader, their leaders. You know, their former mayor, Catherine Pugh, she is under indictment over fraud and other things, and she deserves everything that she gets because she was a miserable human being. This woman is different. She understands the issues that are happening in Baltimore and other inner cities and in urban settings where the police are over-militarized.
Right.
They are targeting black and brown youth and people in general, and they're targeting them in a way that these kids, like, so are they breaking a law? Yes. But so, fine. Then you need to go ahead and police everyone the same way. So if you're not going to police everyone the same, then it's either kind of all or not. But what they're doing in Baltimore and Cleveland and Chicago and everywhere else is any small minor infraction, they take that and the police run with it, right? They use it as an excuse to pull you over, stop you in the street, you know, kick in your door, walk it for whatever, and then they try to build and suck these kids into the system as early and as often as they can. And it's created this situation, right? It started, you know, 50 years ago, and it's still going on to a degree. And what we're seeing now is, I mean, if you read the article for this case with this Georgetown starter jacket, they also listed, like, 7 other cases where people have been exonerated over the course of the last 5 years from, you know, over-aggressive police using sketchy tactics, right? This same prosecutor, she went through and discredited 25 police officers, right? 25 police officers.
This is Marilyn.
This is the Baltimore prosecutor. This is Marilyn Mosby. She discredited 25 police officers on the Baltimore police force that are either, some of them are still with the police force, others are not. And they had to go back, and they literally are going back and overturning nearly 800 cases because of the actions that these police officers took that were at minimum dishonest and mostly illegal, right? Well, and this is the police officers,
and they certainly bear responsibility. But then there's further responsibility on the city prosecutors because, again, it from the article I read, they had clear evidence that these three kids did not do it, and they were basically like, we got to close this case out. These kids are probably bad news anyway. Who knows? So we'll just close it out, throw them in jail for life, and we don't give a fuck. And that should be a crime.
I've actually worked in the system.
I know.
And I've seen how it operates. You have police officers who get hard-ons for particular people.
Right.
Right? Whether it's a specific person, kid, whatever, that they've known. Police officers known the kid since he was 10, has always thought that the kid was trouble, or maybe he didn't like the kid's older brother, like your brother was trouble, so you're trouble. And these police officers, they get these hard-ons for these kids, and they will go to the ends of the earth to throw these kids in jail. Right, they will set these kids up. They will plant evidence. They will lie on the stand, where everyone knows it's a bold-faced lie. But the prosecutor and the judges don't have the balls to sit there and say you are in contempt of court, you are committing perjury right now, and you are going to jail. They won't do it. There's only one judge in Chicago who has decided to do it lately. We talked about him, you know, a couple years ago. Yeah, Bill Hooks, who used to be a defense attorney. He's a big badass dude with a giant tattoo on the back of his head and a card that has gun will travel. Used to be his business card. But anyway, but you have these police who go after these kids, right? Who all look the same, right? All black kids, all Mexican kids or Puerto Rican kids or whatever, that probably live in the projects or a rundown neighborhood. And for whatever reason, they get a hard-on for these kids and they chase them down. And they find, you got a little weed in your pocket. What else do you have here? And then all of a sudden, they start attaching crime to this kid that, like, well, we don't have a suspect for this crime. So, you know what? You're an asshole. I decided that you did it. Right? They make the story fit. They make the narrative fit. The prosecutor knows it doesn't fucking fit, but the prosecutor doesn't give a fuck because it's all about disposition. Right? Dispo, dispo, dispo. Get this case off my desk. right? Prosecutor knows the fucking cop is lying. Prosecutor doesn't give a fuck. They run with the story. They make it fit. The judge sits there and looks everybody in the eye and says, yep, this all makes sense to me, knowing goddamn well it doesn't.
Right? Well,
I mean, and then you've got fucking two generations of black and brown youth filling prisons across the country because this happens everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's the systemic thing. In this particular case, though, again, if you know someone is innocent and you're still willing to prosecute them, and now what you're talking, you know, the police might have believed what they believed at the time. I'm not certainly not exonerating them. But the prosecutors literally withheld evidence that would have proven that this was not. And I thought it was the jacket was supposed to have a hole in it based on where the guy was shot, and it didn't. There was something about gunshot residue also, that there was no gunshot residue on the jacket from the kid when he was arrested. But they withheld that information. And that should be illegal, shouldn't it?
Or is it?
Technically, all right, that should be enforced, right. But it's not.
Yes.
And the idea that,
it's not illegal. There's
legal malpractice or whatever.
No, it's not. It's not
really
legal. It's not. No.
You can be a prosecutor. Because
think about this happens. One, this happens all the time.
I know it does. It happens all the time.
Like, and you can't sue. Like, think about it. Like, you can't go back and then sue a prosecutor for their, like, that's what they wanted to do with the Exonerated Five in New York with the case where Trump took out the big ad. But you can't, even though we know they.
And that's another perfect example of,
right.
Well, five black kids, they were in Central Park.
I mean, it falls back onto prosecutorial discretion, and essentially it goes to, well, you know, in the course of things, you know, we can't hold our prosecutors criminally liable for them essentially making a mistake. That's the theory behind it.
But there's a mistake, and then there's deliberate intentional.
Agreed.
I
understand your position, but it's set up this way specifically to avoid this situation where we go back and we're suing all these prosecutors for the shady shit that they've done. Right? Like, I mean, it's a bastardization of the law and the way it's meant to work. But you can't go back and sue him for it. Like, there's no.
I'm not talking about suing. I'm putting him in jail.
Right. Like, none of that's going
to
happen.
I know it won't.
Right.
I'm saying that's a fundamental flaw with the system. The fact that if I am a prosecutor and I know the evidence in front of me is garbage, but I'm more interested in my conviction rate and my, career advancement. So yeah, three kids go to jail for the rest of their lives who didn't do it, and I know they didn't. Again. Call me old-fashioned, whatever. I don't know how you can do that and sleep at night. I just don't
Apparently
know.
Very well.
Apparently, I guess.
I mean, because it happens on a pretty regular basis.
I mean, it's just hard for me to put my mind in the mindset of someone who can do that. All right, you want to move on to sports?
Sure.
Let's stay in Baltimore, though, because there's this kid in Baltimore playing pretty damn good football right now. Lamar Jackson has been on fire. We got to watch the game the other day, and man, I mean, I was constantly throwing stupid little jokes out there, like, oh, they held him to 100 yards. Yeah, it's three touchdowns later, but they did. He's currently at under 100 yards passing. He finished the game with 190 and five touchdowns.
And 95 yards.
And 95 yards rushing.
So the issue is,
and dominated.
You know, one of the big issue with Lamar Jackson is the fact that, you know, well, he runs, right? He's a really gifted runner. He's fast. He's fluid. He's agile. He can make people miss. He's got really, you know, pretty good pocket awareness, things like that. So because he runs, people say, well, it's only a matter of time before he gets injured. Only a matter of time. Look at Robert Griffin III. He got injured, you know, because he ran too much.
Who ironically is now backing up.
Right, he's back up. And obviously, or oddly enough, the Baltimore Ravens have had the ball, like, in the last 14 offensive drives, there's only been two punts. And the only reason those punts happened is because Robert Griffin III was the quarterback.
Right.
Which is a weird stat. But, you know, The argument, I guess, against Lamar Jackson is, well, because he's a running quarterback, he's going to get hurt because, you know, he's going to get tackled in an awkward way, knee, ankle, something along those lines, and he's not going to be able to sustain this level of production, and so, you know, don't get excited about him, right? Like,
I've heard people say that.
There's a ton of people who are saying that as, don't crown him. You know, I need to see this for 12 years and then I'll talk about it. I mean, like, I literally, there was a guy on Twitter who was going back and forth with us about it. And it's just like, one, all right, one, you're not a GM. You're not paying him. Shut the fuck up. The dude is lighting it up. Enjoy it. It's football. It's entertainment, right? Enjoy it in the moment, because the bottom line is, it's a brutal sport.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, people get injured all the time. Linemen don't run anywhere, and they get injured all the time because of what happens in the pile and on the offensive line and in the trenches, right? There are quarterbacks every year who get hurt in the pocket. Alex Smith almost had to get his fucking leg cut off because he got hit so fucking hard, his leg fucking literally snapped almost off.
Just on the road in D.C.?
You know, I mean, the same thing actually, oddly enough, happened to Joe Theismann, you know, 30 years ago,
right,
when Lawrence Taylor hit him and broke his leg and almost had to get it fucking amputated, right? Like, and it wasn't because he was running all willy-nilly like one of them running backs. He was in the pocket, right? I mean, like, quarterbacks get hit and they get hurt, right? I mean, they get exposed all the time. Tom Brady, he got hurt. He blew out an ACL. And he's got negative rushing. You know what I mean? He's got negative rushing yards. So it's fucking football. Now, by running, does that enhance the chance of getting injured? Sure.
It gets you hit. But there's guys who run reckless, and then there's guys who run smart and get out of bounds. Lamar Jackson, from what I've watched, does not, like
he doesn't take, so, like, there's, like, so, you know, you take a guy like a Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson was a running back for the Rams. He was a bruising running back.
Right.
Right. He was big, strong, fast, but he initiated contact, was not a guy who got out of bounds, was not a guy who made you miss. He just ran you over, or if he could, he would run around you, but he took a beating. He took a pounding, right? But then you have other guys like Barry Foster, who played for the Steelers years ago. The thing about Barry Foster was, you watch that guy play, he always fell forward and he never took direct hits, right? He was always able to get himself down at an angle in which you never saw him blown up. Lamar Jackson, very similar, right? Like, the dude just, he runs in a way, and he knows how to get himself down. Should he get down sooner? Should he slide more? Yes, those are things that you can learn, but here's the other thing. Russell Wilson runs not that much less than Lamar Jackson.
Josh Allen runs roughly as much as Lamar Jackson.
I looked up the numbers. Lamar Jackson has 124 rushes on the season. Josh Allen, your quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, he's got 89 rushes, right? Now, there's 40 more rushes, but 90 rushes for a quarterback is a lot.
Hell yeah.
Right? And no one's worried about Josh Allen and
his rushes. You know, he gets a lot of shit on Buffalo Sports Talk Radio.
In Buffalo, but no one gives a fuck about it. I mean, like, big picture. I mean, like, no one's talking about Josh Allen nationally.
Right, because Josh Allen isn't an MVP candidate.
Right, I mean, but Lamar Jackson is, and the criticism is because he runs, and so... And even if you, it's not even the same as Cam Newton, because again, Cam Newton
used to put his shoulder down and try to barrel through
because
people.
Because he's fucking
6'4", 250.
Right. Like, so he is playing like a fullback, where Lamar Jackson knows that he's not that big. Right. He's not trying to run anybody over. He's going to fucking
hit the circle button on the
PlayStation and fucking spin out of your.
And then disappear and reappear.
Crazy.
Man, and we talked about him in college. And now the thing is, last year, and we both said this, you know, not on air, I don't think. But last year, he needed to improve as a passer. He has. I mean, he was throwing darts the other day. It was something to behold. Now, I'm not a fan of the Ravens. Obviously, I'm a Bills fan. We got to play him in 2 weeks, so I'm really not looking forward to that. But it is funny to me what this kid is doing in terms of putting up stats. And anyway, it deserves mentioning. What was funny to me is I was watching MSNBC tonight, or this morning, and Mike Barnacle, hardly known, or yesterday,
who?
Mike Barnacle?
No, I
know. You know who he is?
No.
He's a former Boston Globe journalist, and he's now on MSNBC. He actually was pretty famous for getting fired from the Globe for plagiarizing jokes that were actually George Carlin jokes after he aggressively pursued another journalist getting fired for plagiarism before that. So when he put out his list of jokes that were actually from George Carlin, he got fired from the Boston Globe. It's a while ago. This happened in, 2003. But anyway, an elderly white Boston journalist wanted to interrupt MSNBC and say, holy shit, this Lamar Jackson kid's pretty good. All right. One other sports thing that I think is interesting.
Well, hold on. So who is your MVP? Who do you have?
Right now, it's Lamar Jackson. I don't even think there's an argument.
Ooh, yeah, there's a fucking argument. I mean, Russell Wilson's having a
really
good year. And I mean, there are other candidates, but I really think it's...
I mean, Tom Brady is not running this year. He's really not having a great year. Mahomes has been hurt, and that hurts his ability.
Yeah, Tom Brady is... No, he's not having a great year, but Tom Brady and LeBron James are kind of like... It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter how great of a year that they have. Like, just no one's going to pick them as the MVP. It's just not going to happen.
Right? What do you mean? LeBron James, how many MVPs?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not going to happen anymore, right? Like, those were earlier on in his career. Okay. But now it's like, it doesn't matter how good. I mean,
I disagree with you on LeBron. Okay.
What LeBron James should have been the MVP of the league every year he was with the Cavs when he came back.
Right.
How would he not be? Because when you removed him from that team, they literally could not win basketball games. Like it's like they didn't know how to play the sport. So the idea that he wasn't he is the most valuable player in the league, period. Because when you take him away, your team literally went from the finals to a first round draft pick. See how that works?
Number one.
So
well, every team gets a first round draft pick. So
Jim, you're being get yourself stabbed in the eye. So, but you see what I'm saying?
I do. But I mean, who won it other than LeBron? Durant, I think, won.
Steph Curry
won. Those guys had
Harden.
A
claim.
Those guys had a claim. So right.
His name? Russell Westbrook. I mean,
right, right. Okay, and again, I agree with you on LeBron. However, those guys had their arguments too, and
none of those guys could have taken the Cavs to the finals.
I agree.
None of those guys would have won a championship in 2016 with the Cavs.
I agree. You don't have to convince me of that. I'm just saying, people argue two different things with MVP. Is it truly, by the definition, most valuable, meaning teams lose the most if they don't have them? Or is it the best player in the game at that time?
Okay, but LeBron was all of the above.
All right. I don't want to argue about LeBron.
Well, I'm just saying.
Tom Brady is not getting shunned this year.
No.
And who was the MVP last year? Was it Mahomes?
Actually, I don't know.
I think it was Mahomes.
I'm actually not sure, one award I don't even care about.
The season's over by the time it happens.
Right. I mean, like, it doesn't come out until, like, either right before the Super Bowl or right after.
Right. And it's just...
You know, and I'm a bitter turd. If the Steelers are in the Super Bowl, then I'm pissed about all things football. So I'm just like, I don't go fuck about the MVP. It's not going to be any of my guys. So whatever, you know.
All right.
I was just curious.
Okay.
I think it's Russell Wilson.
Okay. I mean, Russell Wilson is, it's funny. We talked about this again, not on the air, but when he got his huge contract this year, I thought, wow, they kind of were paid for Russell Wilson. Then I looked at his numbers and went, no, they really didn't.
No, they didn't.
He's fucking great.
His numbers are up there with Tom Brady's numbers, literally.
Oh, well, Tom Brady's numbers aren't that good this year, though.
I'm talking about over the course of the last, 5 years.
Okay, yeah.
Right? I mean, like, he's been really good in the regular season. He's been really good in the playoffs when they made it. He should have 2 Super Bowls. But, I mean, he's, like, Russell Wilson is...
He's fantastic, yeah.
One of the most underrated players. And even this year, I think he's being overshadowed by Lamar Jackson. Because if you take Russell Wilson away from Seattle... They're not 9-2 or whatever.
But you just named the key factor. He plays in Seattle. Doesn't get as much time on TV. I mean, I don't see him. You know, he deserves more than he probably gets. Every time you watch him, he's a baller. And he's another guy who, yeah, he runs, but he runs smart. He's a thick guy. People say, well, he's only 5'11 or whatever he is. He's going to get hurt. Being short doesn't get you hurt. Being awkward and gawky and taking bad hits and being slight of frame gets you hurt.
Well, I disagree with you on this because you're just like, well, he's 5'10 or 5'11, but he's got a thicker build. So, listen, we've seen plenty of running backs with that exact same build who can't make it, who get beat up, and are out of the league, right?
They're running backs, though.
Okay, but...
They're getting hammered 25 times a game.
But we've also seen running backs who get hit. Adrian Peterson is still in the league, right? And still could probably rush for 1,000 yards if someone would turn around and hand him the ball.
He's also had a couple of horrific injuries.
And he's also been, Adrian Peterson is a bad example because it's just a freak of nature, right? He's had horrific injuries and then come back the next season and ran for 1,500 yards, right? I mean, like, so you... I think it just comes down to each individual guy, which is why I'm not going to sit there and say, well, Lamar Jackson's skinny, so he's going to get hurt, right? I mean, like, if he's durable and he can take pounding.
Certainly some guy, I mean, back to LeBron. LeBron has had things happen to his body on the court where you're like, okay, his career's over, and then he's at the free throw line and D'ing up.
Right.
Which was the Matthews brother that played offensive line for Tennessee? Bruce. Okay. I once saw Bruce Matthews. That guy just kind of like LeBron. He just had the body that bounced back. He got doubled back, literally did something to his knee that if it happened to me, and this was 15, 20 years ago, I would still be on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And he bounced right back up. So you're right. Some guys are prone to, you know, their body just doesn't break down.
You know, it's funny. Bruce and Clay Matthews both, were Iron Men. Now, you know, Bruce Matthews played, I think Bruce Matthews played like 22 years or something.
It was a lot.
Like that.
And he missed very few plays.
Like missed very, very few plays. And, you know, Clay Matthews was the same way. Junior has not been quite as durable, but still a pretty, you know, effective guy. Injuries are it's really something that's really out of a player's control. Like, some guys just get bad luck, get bad injuries. Like, take a Alex Smith with that break of his leg.
Right.
You know, but other guys you watch get hit time and time and time and time again, and they keep bouncing up and they keep getting up. Whether it's, like an Adrian Peterson, even Jerome Bettis. Like, Jerome Bettis had some really, really bad injuries. I mean, he played a playoff game where his groin was basically detached, right? I mean, like, he took a fucking turtle shot and played in the game. He didn't play great. But he played, and he still came back and played another season. Some guys can just, one, their pain tolerance is higher. Two, they're just built different, right? And Lamar Jackson may be a guy who's just built different.
Well, the thing about Lamar Jackson, and I think you're kind of directing this at me, because one of the reasons I didn't like him coming out of college is I said he looked too slight. But the numbers didn't bear that out. I mean, he was 6'3", 218 or something coming out of college.
He's not, like, if you look at, I mean... Robert Griffin III has put on weight, good weight over the last, few years since he came out. But Lamar Jackson has a better build than Robert Griffin III had when he came out, right? When you look at him, he's got muscle density. He's, like, his legs are thick. Like, he's got skinny calves, but this isn't a fucking bodybuilding show, right? His quads and his hamstrings are thick. The kid's got a butt. Like, I mean, he's a strong kid. Like, you can't be that fast and not be strong.
Right.
Right? I mean, like, and he's got a crazy arm. It's not quite Mike Vick's arm, but...
You're talking Lamar Jackson.
Right? Like, I mean, like, so he's got all the tools, and so could he get injured in a freak accident? Absolutely.
Of course, but...
You know, I mean, but then what happens if he gets, like, what if it happens in the pocket?
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, what if an offensive lineman gets pushed back into him and blows out his knee and is like, well, see? I mean, it's fucking football. Guys get hurt.
The truth of the matter is there's been a prejudice against running quarterbacks for a long time. Yes, there's a racial component to that, a pretty big one. And that, I think that bias is, I want to say, gone. Because, yes, you can say Bill Polian. Like, Bill Polian said he should be a wide receiver coming out of college.
And there's a reason why Bill Polian doesn't have a job right now, other than the NFL Network.
Yes, he does. He says dumb things on ESPN. And I'm like, look, I love Bill Polian. Bill Polian built the Super Bowl teams. But he's clearly... The game has passed him by. And right now, the 20 years ago, there was a distinct prejudice against... running athletic quarterbacks, not just by fans and people talking, but their opportunities were limited.
I would say most of that was driven by race.
Okay, I agree.
There is a component where it was the way that they were coaching the game. They didn't know how to adapt to a player's skill set, right? Randall Cunningham is really technically, I guess Fran Tarkington would really be your first running. Well, I mean, you had all the quarterbacks running the fucking wing T,
right?
All
that
shit. But
once the passing era came in.
In the modern era, like, you had Fran Tarkington, and then you go to, probably fast forward to Randall Cunningham. Randall Cunningham was really the first one to stand out. And Randall Cunningham was a freak athlete.
Oh, yeah.
Just across the board, all the different things he could do on the field. Amazing arm. Obviously, he could run. He could jump. He could punt. He could, all that shit. I mean, I think the only thing he didn't do was kick a field goal. But, and I think there's one thing that I guess Randall Cunningham eventually evolved. When he got older and he couldn't run, he wasn't out of the league. I mean, he was still a really productive quarterback when he was with Minnesota. And, I mean, now mind you, he was throwing to Randy Moss and Chris Carter.
That does make life a little bit easier.
That helps. But, listen, he was still a good quarterback that got them to the playoffs. Right? I mean, they're you know, they were within a couple plays of fucking going to the Super Bowl. So, I think my point in defending Lamar Jackson is, yeah, the guy runs, and he runs a lot. It's fucking football. He may get hurt, but he can get hurt. Like, he's got just as good a chance of getting hurt in the pocket as he does running and getting outside the pocket.
I might even argue there's a greater chance because when your feet are planted and you're looking downfield, someone rolling on your leg.
You don't see it coming and you can't protect yourself, right? And we see this happen. Like, Drew Brees has had devastating injuries. Trent Green, devastating injury. You know, Peyton Manning, Luck ran. I mean, Andrew Luck had to retire because he took beating.
He played hero ball too, though, right? He would lower his shoulder and
I mean, he got killed in the pocket because they never put a fucking offensive line there's around that. Him, right? I mean, you look at all the drafted quarterbacks who were never able to make it. David Carr, right? David Carr got killed in the pocket. Yeah. Like, even fucking Bernie Kosar. Bernie Kosar couldn't run to save his life and got fucking murdered, right? I mean, like, he never had a devastating injury, but, I mean, literally got his fucking brains beat in. My point is that with a guy like Lamar Jackson, yes, he runs a lot now. But the problem that the league is going to have is that kid is throwing fucking lasers, right? He is throwing the guys in tight windows. He is throwing guys open. He is making the right reads. His accuracy gets better every week. And the problem that you're going to have is, all right, fine, we've taken away the run. But if you've got a guy who can pick people apart like Aaron Rodgers and run like Michael Vick, I do not know how you're going to stop him. The only thing you can hope is that someone blows his knee out.
All right, I would never say something like that.
No, but I mean, like, that's literally going to be the, like, if he's able to continue to evolve and avoid injury, and I don't know, like, and this is what we missed with Michael Vick because he wasn't a dedicated football player. Michael Vick was more worried about the entourage and he had all the shit going on with the dog fighting and everything else. But if Michael Vick would have been the type of guy who studied like Lamar Jackson studies, right, and actually was involved in the offense and actually becoming a quarterback.
I read the other day someone said that Lamar Jackson is what Michael Vick should have been.
Yes.
And you said it?
I said it.
No, so did Michael Vick.
Oh.
Well, he's a bit more of an authority on this than
fair,
you.
Fair. But I mean, like, that's like I said, that's the one thing, and we saw a glimpse of it with Michael Vick when he was with the Eagles.
Right.
Right. That it was like 1.5 seasons where holy shit. Like, I mean, he had an amazing arm. He could still run. Yes, he had been in prison, but he was still, like, Michael Vick was at probably 80%, which was still 20% better than every other athlete on the field. And for a year and a half, we were just like, oh my God, like, this is what we missed out on. Lamar Jackson is now filling that void by doing all those things that Michael Vick didn't do in terms of developing as a player. So if he does avoid injury, then
He's a beast.
Right. I mean, because he's probably got another 5 years of just being more athletic than everybody else. But if he gets better at reading offenses, right, and he gets better, like, and his accuracy continues to get better as it has, like, I don't see how he can continue to progress the way he's progressed this year from last year. But if he does,
I mean, that would be freakish. Because right. Really, the jump he made from last year to this year shows his dedication to getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And he has. I mean, last year.
But he
has.
I mean, but, like, listen. If he's got Brady, Aaron Rodgers' determination in terms of getting better, and he's way more, like, Aaron Rodgers is super athletic, but right. Aaron Rodgers can't hold a fucking candle to Lamar Jackson. So can you imagine if he's got their sort of dedication? And clearly the kid is smart. Clearly he's got the football IQ, right? I mean, he doesn't speak like a fucking Rhodes Scholar, but listen, he speaks football, and he speaks it loud and clear to the tune of 5 touchdowns. You know, he's... He's the youngest player in the NFL. He's the youngest player in the NFL to have multiple 5 touchdown games, and he's also the youngest player in the NFL to have 3 back-to-back-to-back 4 touchdown games. So he's doing something right.
I have not argued a second of that. Real quick, there was a heavyweight championship fight last Saturday. Deontay Wilder won with a knockout.
Did you watch it?
I watched the knockout. It was devastating.
So I watched the actual fight.
Okay.
So, Deontay Wilder was losing that fight until he won the fight.
It was a 7th-round knockout,
It was a 7th-round knockout, and he didn't win a single round. He was getting... It was just like... It was a like, Ortiz was putting on basically an exhibition. Wilder couldn't stop punches. He couldn't get out of the way of punches. He was not landing anything. Deontay Wilder is one of the least technical fighters that I've ever seen. At that level. It's a fight that he, by all accounts, should have lost until he delivered that blow and the fight was over. And people were
sledgehammers for hands.
And people were like, oh, well, the ref stopped the fight. No, the ref didn't stop the fight early. Like, he knocked that dude out. Dude got up at like the 9.5 count, but I mean, it was like he wasn't right when they got to 10. Like, I mean, so, I mean, it's not Buster Douglas bad and Mike Tyson, don't get me started down that road, but I mean.
All right, I'm going to totally disagree with you on that because Buster Douglas was watching the referee during that fight. But. The whole Buster Douglas, it took too long to count on Buster Douglas. Buster Douglas was looking at the referee, watching the count, waiting to get back up.
Fight should have been over.
No, it should not have been. And furthermore, Buster Douglas fucking destroyed him in that fight. I know you love Mike Tyson.
Fuck Buster Douglas.
Well, fuck him all. Say fuck him all you want. He won that fight convincingly. Well, and
where is he now?
That's a different discussion. Is he alive?
Yeah, he's alive.
Okay. That one night, Buster Douglas was better than Mike Tyson by a lot. You're just mad because your boyhood hero got fucked up. But he did.
And I'm allowed to be.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm not arguing with you. All right, let's shut this down. We are at Whiskey Congress on social media. Jim at WhiskeyCongress.com if you want to email me. Steve at WhiskeyCongress.com if you want to email him. Thank you for listening. You'll be hearing this after Thanksgiving, so we hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Enjoy your turkey.
We're out of here.